The sixth case, the United States v. Dornreich. Mr. Richards.
I'm Stephen Richards. I'm the attorney for the defendant appellant, Stephen Dorner. How this case got to court was Mr. Dorner was convicted of a child pornography case. He was released ultimately from prison after a five-year stint in 2005 in October. At that time, he was erroneously taken into state custody for a different case. 5 months later, he then began the supervision in this case. In the issues in this case are that one is the condition of having his computer monitored by the U.S. probation officer was not reasonably necessary to achieve the ends of sentencing, namely in 3583, directing what supervised release should do.
Let me ask you, I got a couple of questions before you get going here. Is it true that this supervised release expires in March, 6 weeks or so from now?
It does.
So if we were to take this case under advisement and not issue a decision for 6 months, it's moot. Correct?
Basically, he has about 3, possibly 4 weeks at the most in order to enroll. School started this week, but they allowed him to start a few weeks from now if he were to find some word of it.
Let me ask you another thing. The government's brief, page 3, says on February 25th, 2010, the district court issued a written order denying Dorner's request, citing 4 reasons. Your brief, the blue brief, does not have any written order from the district court in it. Correct?
It lists the judgment in the case, which speaks to as well as the also the limited record that was made by the court.
But you want us to review for an abuse of discretion the order of the district judge, who was Griesbach, not Edelman.
That's correct.
You say it was Edelman in your brief, but it's Griesbach.
It's Griesbach, that's correct.
You want us to review that order, and it's not in the brief, and it's supposed to be, according to our rules, and it's the most important thing in a blue brief, especially when you're a satellite judge like Judge Mannion in South Bend and me in Milwaukee. We don't have the record here. It's in Chicago. I opened the brief, and I read that Griesbach issued a written decision denying this request and had 4 reasons. I want to see what his reasons are. Open his brief.
Your Honor, if I can address that, I think there may have been a misstatement. He didn't issue a written order, but rather he made the denial on the record, and that's contained within his denial from the transcript.
Well, then the transcript, that portion of that you want us to review has to be in your brief, and it's not here.
For future reference,
that's the most important thing.
It's part of the record, and I'm sorry about that.
But then we look at a case like this where in another 6 weeks, he's at the finish line of a five-year period of supervised release.
That's correct.
March, he can do anything he wants to do with computers.
And that almost is precisely the point, ironically, this was brought before the judge, before Judge Griesbach, the successor judge from Judge Edelman, because Mr. Dorner's probation was transferred, supervised release was transferred up to the Green Bay District in March of last year. There was a timely notice of appeal filed. There was a request for counsel, me, to be appointed, denied. Mr. Dorner was going to attempt as best as possible, pro se. He made the request for counsel. Then I was ultimately appointed. That's why the timeline is so long. It probably would have been before the court much early on. But no doubt, as the court indicates, if it's taken under advisement, it would be moot with respect to this. Additionally, as I was stating, the other issues is whether the court improperly delegated its authority to the probation officer in determining whether or not he could use a computer. Also, the court's well aware in the brief that the computers in today's society are almost everywhere. It's utilized even in its form as reading the newspaper was years ago. The remedy for this is the computer restriction be vacated. As the brief in the blue brief, there was a letter to Judge Adelman that prompted all this early on in January of 2010, where Mr. Dorner had outlined that he had done what was required of him to do extensive work searches upon release from prison. During that period of time, from 2006 to 2008, he had over 850 resumes, 75-plus job interviews. No one would hire him. One of the reasons were that he was in a position where he was disabled, identified by Social Security, that he was only able to do sedentary-type work. That being said, in today's society, you use computers for any type of desk work. Most employers didn't even want to go with this to have the trouble of monitoring him, and so no doubt with a felony conviction, a lot of this precluded that. That didn't stop the probation officer from making him continue to do work searches, even to this day. And in fact, he enjoys the so-called privilege of going to the job center in Wisconsin, where there's two parts to the computer lab. One is a lab where you research what jobs are made available and give notice to the state, and then there's a lab where you can actually type up, go on the internet, and have unfeathered use of the internet, in which he does right now without any monitoring. So he has no monitoring whatsoever in that regard. But when he tries to go to school, and what happened with school is he went to school in 2008 in fall to try to attend classes to brush up on some computer skills. As the government had indicated, well, he had no real background in the use of computers in his job training. That's not true. He was a graphic artist as well as a technical illustrator. Both of those vocations use computers to a high degree. So he goes to school in 2008, and then in the fall, he starts this a couple of classes where he excels. He's encouraged by the instructors to go into a program of architectural technology and enrolls in that. And then the spring semester of 2009, there's indications that he's navigating outside of where he should be. There's some indications he was on Facebook and MySpace. That's what's alleged. But later on in the spring of in April of 2009, he goes to was directed to go to a polygraph test. He starts out with the polygraph test. He answers the perfunctory questions to determine whether the system is working. The examiner asks him twice these two sets of questions. Apparently, he has all the information that's directed by the probation officer as to what they want to find out about user logins and passwords. They do that, and then with that, he tries to answer these questions, and he said, the examiner says, wait a minute, you're breathing too hard. I can't get the actual results. And then he said he ultimately fails the test. Summary, he has no problems whatsoever. And the government indicates that he didn't attend school. He did. He had a summer class in school. No problems whatsoever. But then the fall came, and then at that particular time, the problems started occurring. Mr. Dorner raises the issue that it could have been a problem with the program because in the classroom that he attended, the teacher took and locked down all the computers of everybody who was sitting. Each one of them had a terminal, and it could have commingled what the information was. He offered to the agent to stand behind me, watch where I'm going on any particular day, and then we'll review the records and see if this program's faulty. We believe the program's faulty, and so does the government. And so they said, well, we can't accurately monitor them. We're going to remove them. I'd like to reserve the remaining minutes. Thank you.
Mr. Ingram? Dan, did you have a question? Dan?
No, it's the same question.
May it please the court. My name is Stephen Ingram. I'm an assistant United States attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. I was counsel for the United States in this case in the district court, with the exception of before Judge Griesbach in Green Bay. I was counsel before Judge Edelman in Milwaukee. Your Honors, the district court did not abuse its discretion in denying Mr. Dorner's petition to modify the conditions of supervised release. Judge Evans, there was a question about four reasons given. Just to make sure the record is clear, there were two different petitions to the district court here with respect to this computer condition of supervised release. The first one was before Judge Edelman, and Judge Edelman issued a written decision in which he did cite the four reasons as indicated in our brief. The second request to modify these conditions of supervised release was before Judge Griesbach after the case, after Judge Edelman issued his decision. The case was then transferred to Judge Griesbach for geographical reasons within the Eastern District. And it was then that Judge Griesbach issued a decision on a separate petition. And actually, as indicated, it was not a written decision. Judge Griesbach simply held a hearing and then ruled after the hearing that the conditions were proper and would stand. So there were two separate hearings and two separate petitions with respect to this condition. But both courts were, neither court abused its discretion in denying the motion to modify this condition of supervised release. Both courts rightly focused in on protecting the public, and here we had an individual that had used a computer to commit a sex offense, and also had a history of sex offenses prior to that. So both courts properly used their discretion to take a look at this and say, no, this is not a condition that we want to allow to be adjusted at this time. Then, secondly, Your Honors, the district court did not commit plain error by delegating to the probation officer the authority to regulate Mr. Dorner's access to a computer. The probation officer properly used discretion to allow Mr. Dorner restricted use of a computer. Had the probation officer allowed Mr. Dorner no use of a computer, that might be cause for plain error. But where Mr. Dorner was permitted to use a computer, in the context of the entire record, there is no clear or obvious error affecting Mr. Dorner's substantial rights that would have affected the fairness, integrity, or public reputation of the judicial proceedings. So, Your Honors, unless you have any questions for me, I'll leave it to my brief for the remainder. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Richards.
Thank you, Your Honors. The government states that there were essentially two petitions. The letter, which stated in the brief of the defendant, is a letter outlines what happened. The first petition, if you will, was a request to Judge Edelman to terminate the remainder of supervision. It wasn't the same. It was different, and there was an order issued in that, and that's not what we're appealing from. We're ultimately appealing the decision on Judge Griesbach to withhold or take away the restriction of the computer use. Now, the one problem with this is what we haven't seen in any court decision is what happens when the situation where this is delegated to the supervising agent and they report back to the court and say, now there's a problem with it. None of the decisions that were researched indicate or speak to this problem. They all say, well, they uphold this is a proper form of restriction and so on and so forth. You know, there's also a point in this government's brief where they say that it's okay to restrict some form of education, because that's what we're talking about here, having Mr. Dorner complete his education. The case they cite is a person who wanted to go to, was on supervised release and wanted to go to Pakistan to get a dental degree there. It's far different than what we're talking about here. He's attending a trade school, and he just wants to complete these classes, and he can't. It is a prohibition at this point, and we can't go back to the court when the officer that's supervising him is really an extension of the court. I'd ask you to take this under consideration and issue a rule.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Richards. Mr. Ingram. Mr. Richards, you have the additional thanks of the court for accepting this appointment.
Thank you, Your Honors.
The case is under advisement. The court will stand in recess.